Sheep can be easy to overlook sometimes. Lamb and especially mutton are not as common on American tables, I think, as chicken or beef. And while sheep's milk cheese is delicious, it's not as usual a choice as some other choices. A lot of knitters and weavers out there, but wool is more often bought from a craft store than directly from a farmer. Despite that, we have a robust sheep industry here in Wisconsin, and a great place to learn about sheep and enjoy all the products that come from them is the upcoming Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival. We have a couple of guests for you to talk about it today. Cody Heimke has studied animal science at UW-Madison. He and his wife have a small farm in Stoughton where they lamb out approximately 50 Shropshire ewes each year. Their main market is to sell stud rams, and so they like to do that. Whoops. Oh, let me see. I just made a mistake here. Let's see if we can. Well, I'll tell you what, I made a little boo-boo on my on my screen because one of our guests is with us by phone. He is with me in the studio today is Cody Heimke. And thank you for coming by the way.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And Neil Kettner started raising sheep 30 years ago at Winsmer Manor, his farmstead in Mason, Michigan. Raised a range of heritage sheep. Hand-spun wool is a staple of the operation. He served as a wool judge, including at the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival. And now I think I can get him on. Let me see if I've got him on. Are you there, Neil?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate you visiting with us for sure to talk about. Well, we're going to talk about sheep and both the wool and also the meat with our two guests today. And certainly we're going to talk about the Sheep and Wool Festival that's going on September 5th through the 7th at the Jefferson County Park. We're going to go over what's going on with that. But Cody, first, let's turn to you. Tell us about your farm. How did you get started raising sheep?
You know, I've been raising sheep for about 28 years, and it's something that my father did. And after my father went off to high school, Grandpa took the sheep over. So I'm kind of third generation, but a little bit backwards, raising the sheep. And we've always raised the same breed, the Shropshires. And I grew up in 4-H raising them, kind of traveled around the state doing some shearing when I was younger, and mm-hmm. been involved in the industry both on a statewide level and nationally, and moved back to Wisconsin back in 2010 with Ruth, and we started up the farm back there. I did run a small flock of sheep out in California when I was living out there with her. So.
You're a big proponent not only of lamb on the dinner table, but of mutton. We can still call it mutton or not?
We still call it mutton. And the mutton is something that I'm just starting to work with a little bit this year. I serve on the American Lamb Board, and that's been something we've been working a lot more with producers at direct market. And a lot of those producers are finding a very willing audience to try mutton, and they really like it. So this is my first year of doing any mutton. So I took some of my cull ewes this year and had them processed into some sausages and some salamis. Actually, here in Madison, the guys at Underground Meats are doing some work with that.
And so. Hopefully we'll get a chance to take a taste of those a little later on.
I want
to
get treat along if you'd like.
Neil, you're on the wool. You're a wool guy. How did you get involved in that?
Well, Larry, I started off as a city kid, and I went to Michigan State University and had the privilege to be with George Good, the shepherd there at Michigan State, and worked right with their purebred Rambouillet and their Suffolk flock. And then after I had graduated from the university, I had the chance to be a farm manager and continued helping show Suffolks and Corriedales, and had the chance to get my first Jacob's sheep. And we started with those almost 35 years ago, even before they were a registered breed here in the United States, and had a real privilege of meeting some folks from the West Coast that had imported some Jacob's sheep directly from the UK. And with that, 30 years later, Neil is still raising purebred registered Jacob's sheep. But I got bored with the Jacob for a while, so I ventured more and had a chance to handle some beautiful fleeces from England of Wensleydales.
Oh.
I said, I got to have this breed of sheep. And with that, we were able to get the semen collected from the UK and brought it here to the United States. And I did the grade up program using the purebred Cotswold flock there at Greenfield Village right here in Dearborn, Michigan. And from 50 percenters all the way up to now raising 93% American purebred Wensleydales. They're the long, wonderful wool sheep with the Wensleydale name.
Oh, wow. You know, Vicki in Duluth is on the line and has a question about the fleece, I believe. Vicki, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I like to knit, and I'm concerned about animal welfare, too. So I've tried to find out by looking online, you know, how the animals are treated by, you know, individual yarn producers. And I've had a little trouble, you know, getting the information I want. So how can I do that?
Okay. Well, what kind of information do you want?
Well, about the humane, whether or not the particular sheep were humanely treated.
Okay.
I know that the police guy knows what some of the issues are.
Okay. Well, let's turn to Neil then. Neil?
Well, having been a shearer myself for you, Vicki, in that too, I think the key thing that as far as the handling of the sheep, normally held within, I'd say in 1.5 to 3 minutes time period that they're actually taking that fleece off the animal, and it is put on their back end there and then sheared out clearly, and then, yes, sometimes you can get a few nicks and cuts on them there too, but as far as the overall treatment, I think it's much more relief for that animal to have their fleece taken off on a regular basis, because you don't want to have that fleece continually growing and growing on that animal, because it gathers a lot of dirt and debris, and it actually can cause more harm to that animal. So I think when you're thinking of the welfare piece on that there, that I think a lot of our shepherds do a very smooth, quiet job. My shepherd here in Michigan, Cy Carl, he's a blade shearer as well, and that's one of my best ways. I get the nicest fleeces, the calmest sheep, and the nice overall appearance for my finished wool to make it processed into great yarns for spinning and weaving.
So blade shearing, now what does that mean? It's a razor blade?
No, it's an old-fashioned, looks like a great big huge pair of hand cutters, and you actually use your hands to open and close the blades to open them up, and it's all hand done. And, that, and that's the way it was done even before electricity was even used for a lot of the clippers. And Cody could probably relate to that. That takes quite a bit of time and effort versus using the smooth electric clippers, but you get some beautiful fleeces from blade shears.
My forearms are sore thinking about it.
Yeah.
What do you know about that thing they call mulesing?
The muling is not done here in the United States, and that tends to be a real controversial concern, particularly with the use and the pulling off those fleeces as well, too. So I've never seen it done here in the United States. I've just read some articles about it, and I'm not in favor of the muling, but it's a very, very small percentile of moving that fleeces off under the muling process.
Yeah,
it's mostly done in some countries down under. It had been, and they've been breeding sheep so they have fewer wrinkles in them, so they don't have to do that process. It's very uncommon to see that practice anymore.
Yeah, okay, so there we go. Thank you very much for calling, Vicki. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, with a question at 1-800-642-1234. We're talking about sheep, we're talking about the wool, and we're also talking the meat with our two guests for today, Cody Heipke and Neil Kentner. And again, the number 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Mike from Iola wondered about cooking ribs. I have two lambs left in the freezer. They said to be somewhat fatty and not a ton of meat on them, but what about the ribs?
Sometimes when people refer to ribs, they might be referring to a few different things. You can have rib chops,
okay,
which will be similar to a loin chop. A little bit more fat on those. I'm guessing what he's referring to is probably something that in the industry we'd call a Denver rib, or in the pork world they call it a St. Louis rib. That's kind of a little bit of a low and slow type thing. I like to put a little bit of smoke to them for a little while and then wrap them to allow that collagen to break down a little bit. And then once you let them set for, you know, an hour or so on a low heat, After having given them some smoke, putting that onto the grill and getting a little char to it, they are pretty delicious. One of my friends that's working on a hop project across the road from me, it's actually his favorite cut of the lamb. I've got a Denver rib set aside for him specially, actually. So they're quite tasty.
There you go. Any experience that of your own, Neil?
Yes, I have. And the thing we're doing now is we take our legs of lamb and we have them smoked. So we sell lamb ham and slice the center slice lamb hams. But you're right about the Denvers. They're really good, and I've done them some with my own. And it's unique when I can use heritage breeds such as the Jacobs or the Wensleydale or our Tunis and put them into retail cuts. And I've done some smoking, and I've fooled a lot of people thinking they're eating pork when they're eating washed lamb.
We're having some fun today talking about sheep. And wool, and the Sheep and Wool Festival. We're going to get to do some more discussion with that after we take a look at the news today. Cody Heipke and Neil Kenner both have been raising sheep for a long time and working with them, and they'll be answering your questions right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Wisconsin has such a rich tradition of farming, both raising crops and animals, and of course we often think of cows, but there's this thriving sheep industry here in the state. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The annual Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival is coming up, and as we often do leading up to it, we have some folks come by to tell us what there is to see and do there. Neil Kenner started raising sheep 30 years ago, and at Winsmer Farm, its historic farmstead in Mason, Michigan. He's raised a lot of sheep, a range of heritage sheep. Hand-spun wool is a staple of the operation. He's served as a wool judge, including the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival, for nearly 20 years. And Neil, again, thank you so much for spending time with us today. Really appreciate it.
Well, it's a real pleasure to be here and to share my knowledge and my passion for sheep and for wool.
And Cody Heimke is with us as well, studying animal science at UW-Madison, as a wife with a small farm in Stoughton where they lamb out about 50 Shropshire ewes every year. Their main market is to sell stud rams, but they also sell meat and wool off the farm. In addition, he manages the Neiman Ranch Lamb Program. Did I get that right?
Neiman, actually.
Neiman, okay. Yep. And pork production planning as well, and he's also serves on National Sheep Organization boards. And so, Cody, great to have you with us, too.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. We have, and this Sheep and Wool Festival, lots of callers online, and we'll get to you for sure, but I want to talk a little about the Sheep and Wool Festival to begin with. It's coming up. What are the dates for the Sheep and Wool Festival? We've got those dates.
September 5th to the 7th.
The 5th through the 7th. And what are we going to see when we go to the Sheep and Wool Festival?
Boy, I think you can see almost anything that happens in the sheep industry there. It's a really neat festival. It caters not only to producers, but people that really like to spin or knit. And Neil can talk a lot more about those sort of things. We've got educational sessions for the producers. We've got, I think, two or three barns full of vendors that'll be selling all kinds of wool stuff. It's really incredible the variety that's out there.
Yeah, and you really don't need to be a farmer. I mean, mm-hmm. in fact, probably your larger audience is probably people who don't farm but are interested in sheep, or they're interested in the wool and so forth.
Yeah, definitely.
Go ahead, Neil. Sorry.
Stock dogs too. Yes.
Oh yeah, stock dogs. There's some sheep shows.
Yeah, well, and Neil, talk a little bit more about the wool and the spinning and so forth.
Well, I'll be seeing well over 23 different breeds of sheep there, and I will be judging all day on that Saturday at 10 in the morning and be handling everything from some nice superfine fleeces like Cormo and Merino, and looking at some of even the medium breed varieties there, even with the Corriedales and that, and look at a lot of the long wools like the Romneys, the Wensleydales, and they're just a good variety, and you won't want to forget, too, the Shetland fleeces, which is considered probably some of the nicest, finest wool, too, that we get originally from the Shetland Islands. So I'll be going through all those different classes and that and evaluating them and doing scores on those, and it'll be the end of the day, probably about 3 o'clock, Larry, when I'm finally concluded and have our Supreme Champion fleece that's going to be some wool that's going to die for, that these spinners and weavers just can't wait, that they can even buy those fleeces later on after the show.
Oh, perfect. And actually, they're going to be able to sample, Cody, some fine lamb and mutton as well, are they not?
I don't know that there'll be mutton there, but there'll be a couple different stands. Vendors coming in that'll be selling lamb and usually some really good tasty stuff.
All right. And that is, again, the dates for that's the 5th through the 7th at the Jefferson County Fair Park. So there's, I mean, good ample parking and...
Yeah, absolutely.
And not a whole lot of money to it doesn't... Not very expensive, really, too.
Oh, goodness. I actually don't know the cost to come in, but it is not very expensive. That's, it's easy to get to.
We'll get that cost up and just, before the show's over, for sure.
Good.
We'll find out about it. Let's go to Yasser from Milwaukee with a question. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Good afternoon, folks, and I really appreciate you taking my call. My question is about milk and milk products. Will there be any milk products like cheese or yogurt from the sheep in that? And if not, I wonder if any of the panel of the gentlemen, the guests, that can tell me about where can I get something like that.
Oh, okay. Very good. And let's go back to Cody. Cody?
You know, historically, we have had some vendors there that have sold sheep milk's cheese. I don't know the vendor list this year, but I would guess there is somebody there selling. We've also had the Wisconsin Dairy Sheep Cooperative come down and sample a lot of cheeses in previous years. Again, I'm not sure if they're doing that this year. But actually, if you go to find, to good stores that have a good cheese selection, you'd very likely to find quite a few cheeses. I don't think we see too many sheep's milk yogurts. I do know there are some dairies that are starting to do that, but Wisconsin has, I think, the biggest variety of sheep's milk cheese that's out there. Our rich tradition of making cheese has Wisconsin also one of the leaders in the dairy sheep industry.
And in fact, somebody here in Wisconsin who's making sheep's milk cheese has won some national awards for her cheese making. And so it's something that I think if you go online, go online to the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival, you're going to probably get a list of all the vendors there, and you're going to be able to find out from there. And there are some great specialty cheese stores. I think if you go to the specialty, you're in Milwaukee, there's bound to be some specialty cheese stores in Milwaukee. I know there's a really great one in Madison on the square where I'm sure they're handling it. But in Milwaukee, I think if you look that way, you're going to find some people who are going to be selling it. You know, I just go specialty cheese stores, and you're going to find something in Madison, almost for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for calling. Anise in Chicago, your turn. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, guys. My name is Anise. I'm from Chicago. I was just on my way to Minnesota for a business trip. So it's my first time I'm hearing your show. I really appreciate your show. And I have one quick question, because that's my dream job. How I can come in this business of sheep raising or farming? And because I tried to search, but honestly, like, I didn't find a way.
Ah, well, I think we got a couple. Thank you very much for calling. And let's start with you, Cody. What have you got for us?
I think there's a few different ways to look at it. One, University Extensions have quite a bit of good information out there. We also offer, at the festival itself, we offer on Friday a Sheep 101 class, which is a good introduction. A lot of the people that take that class don't have sheep. They understand what might be required from a nutritional standpoint, facilities. Mm-hmm. Neil is on the schedule at 10 o'clock on Friday to talk about fleeces.
Yeah.
But, I had dinner with a sheep friend last night, and he made an interesting comment that in all of agriculture, what we really don't look at enough is matching our, you know, our production systems to our resources. So I think that might be one of the good ways to start, is to identify what kind of resources you have, and figuring out how to work a system into that. There are, you know, with the extension agents out there, there are people that can help advise on that.
And I think, an eye-opener would be a visit to the Sheep and Wool Festival, because there are so many experts there and so many people who have been doing it for so long. I think you're going to learn a whole lot.
Absolutely. I think Neil would probably agree that, you know, getting together with other sheep producers, whether you're visiting their farm or something like the festival, I've been doing this nearly as long as Neil has, and that's where I learn the most is getting together with people and learning from their operations.
And so, obviously,
I agree with you, Cody. It's really going to be a good opportunity. Like you mentioned, the Sheep 101 class, I'll be talking about managing your flock for high-value fleeces, so we can look at those wool opportunities with the live animals as well and talk about housing and management. And I agree with Cody. Matching those producers to those resources is a real key piece, and you're definitely going to have that great opportunity. And that networking is probably where you learn more from fellow sheep producers. And a lot of the newbies in the Class Sheep 101 will really get their appetite wet real well with what they want to do and how they want to move in the sheep industry.
Yeah, so I hope our caller can take the time. Coming up, here's the event that's coming up on the 5th and through the 7th. And the 5th, that's Friday, that would be a perfect day for him to be there because of the 101, the Sheep 101 class. I really hope he's able to do that because he sounds like he's really interested in getting going in it. And it's wonderful to hear. Mark in Westfield, thank you for calling. Hi.
Enjoy your show. I was wondering, where would you purchase like a hide, because you're obviously butchering the animals, for motorcycle seats?
Oh.
Well, I sold those myself, Mark, and that too, and I have some folks with their beautiful Harley Davidsons with a nice Jacob sheep pelt, and I usually send my pelts to either Bucks County in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, or I've sent them to Stearns in Minnesota. You can find the information online for them there, and they will take your raw fleeces, and you just salt them really good and then put them in the freezer and next day delivery, and they will process those. It normally takes about 3 to 6 months before I get them back, but you can have an awesome piece that is very comfortable to sit on your motorcycle.
Where could I purchase one of those already cured hides or tanned hides?
There might be some there with the vendors. I would check around in all the different vendor booths that they're going to have there. The country store is going to be open Friday from 10 to 6 and Saturday from 9 to 6 and Sunday from 9:30 to 3:30. So I'm sure you'll see some sheep pelts, and some of our good Michigander friends, I know they normally bring some pelts. So I'll get them connected and make sure you've got something around there. We can just talk to Neil at the festival, and we can see what we can do to get you let into a beautiful pelt.
Sounds wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. So be sure to hit the Sheep and Wool Festival, and I'm positive you're going to be able to buy something.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Buy something there. Nancy in Albany, it's your turn. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Oh, hello there. I am so delighted that you're talking about sheep today. I have my own flock that I manage up north for both fleece and meat, and I recently got associated with a dairy farm that ships its milk down from a grade A dairy in northwestern Wisconsin to the Sugar River Dairy, which is right just south of Madison here near Albany.
Yes.
And I work with the Sugar River Dairy, and we are planning to come out with a 100% sheep milk yogurt. We've done all the testing and so on. It's coming out in September, so it's coming right up. And we also have an amazing sheep cow milk blend that's a vanilla that everybody that's tasted it says it tastes just like ice cream, but not frozen.
Ah.
So we're going to be distributing those to all the stores. The people who have been at the Westside Farmers Market in Madison have already had an opportunity to taste both of those products. And last week I was over there in the booth, and there were at least 30 people that requested, when's that sheep and what's that blend coming back? When are we going to have it? So it's really going to be a marvelous hot commodity for us. And then the fellow that just talked about pelts, I'm going to be doing some slaughtering for meat fairly soon, and I can give my information to your producer offline if you want, and he could contact me if he'd like to. But the yogurt is a product that is not, as your guest said, it's not readily made in this country. There are a couple of manufacturers of it, but it makes the silkiest yogurt. And there's a comparison, a nutritional comparison between sheep milk, cow milk, and goat milk that I can email out to anybody from the Sugar River Dairy. And the sheep milk wins out in many of those categories, in protein and vitamin C and the healthy fats and all that kind of stuff. So I'd be happy to do that. Our website is sugarriverdairy.com. Very easy. All one word. Sugar River Dairy. We're down here by the Sugar River south of Madison.
All right.
And we've been producing yogurt now for 13, 14 years, and it's some of the best in the store, most people say. I'm not just saying that because I work there.
All right. SugarRiverDairy.com. Thank you very much for calling.
SugarRiverDairy.com. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to get my phone number to your producer, that'd be great.
Okay. We'll put you on hold. And Carl, can you do that? And you can put it. Okay. Carl's going to do that. We'll get you on hold. And we'll turn to Allison in Red Wing, Minnesota next. Hi, Allison. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. My concern is I would like to raise Dorper sheep. I've seen that they're a nice, healthy meat breed, but they also are a good milking variety. And I wonder if they would have a higher protein requirement than the fleece breeds or less.
Dorper breed.
Yes.
Okay. Cody, are you familiar with that breed?
Yeah, the Dorper is actually it's kind of an F1 that's been developed into a breed. It's a Persian fat tail bred to a Dorset. They're technically a shedding sheep. A lot of people call them hair sheep, but they do grow a fleece and they shed. They're good browsers. They generally have pretty meaty carcasses. As far as nutritional requirements, I think from breed to breed, you don't have many differences, except for when you get into the size of the sheep. The Dorper is a smaller to more moderate frame, so they're not going to have as high of a nutrient requirement as far as protein or energy goes. But you just need to make sure you're balancing that appropriately for what you're feeding them and you know, the how big the sheep are.
Mm-hmm. All right. There we go. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You work on sheep genetics as well, do you not?
I do. I serve on the National Sheep Improvement Program, which many people out there will be familiar with or may not be familiar with EPDs, expected progeny differences, or EBVs, estimated breeding values. They're used widely in the dairy industry, widely in the beef industry, in the hogs, even though in much of the hog industry, that's a little bit more of a controlled genetic group. Not as much in the U.S. sheep industry, and it is something that's getting a lot more attention. Basically you're looking at the productive potential of an animal based on how that animal grows and how all the other animals in the pedigree of that animal grew. You can also look at carcass traits. You can look at wool, so loin eye area and fat thickness. You can look at wool, staple length, fiber diameter, crimp. There's quite a few things you can look at there. It's really endless. It's used quite a bit down under and over in the UK, and it's something that here in the States we're really trying to encourage more people. It's, you know, bottom line, it's all about dollars, and you know, they're productive, economically important traits that we can look at.
And Neil, on the wool side, are there some trends that you're seeing that in wool that are in types of wool that are gaining favor with people?
Well, we've seen a lot of changes in that too, because everyone always wants the nice, softest merino fleeces, Matt, which is the type of fiber that you want next to your skin. But we're seeing a lot of crossbred animals. We're seeing a lot more of the modern breeds, such as the Cornwall breed, which is a cross of the Corriedale and Merino that initially was established there in New Zealand area. But we're seeing a lot of the natural colors are more being utilized now in our wool products. And I'm a natural color wool judge as well, and so I'll see a lot of natural colored or black or gray or silver fleeces with the border lesters, blue face lesters, even with all the different colors you get from the Shetland fleeces, because there's 11 recognized colors here in the United States of Shetland sheep. And
wow,
we have some beautiful arrays of product that's all not chemically dyed, but naturally colored from that animal. And I've done a lot of spinning and weaving and doing that, and it just has a great added creativity for that beginning spinner or weaver or knitter or crocheter that they're using natural products.
Yeah, I can see. And, of course, they're going to see all this at the Sheep and Wool Festival, too, are they not?
Oh, they most certainly will, and I'll be judging a lot of Shetland fleeces and giving you all those proper Gaelic and Northern UK names and titles for those fleeces, and we have an individual coming in to judge the Midwest Shetland Sheep Show that's coming in from the UK, and she's going to be doing a talk, and as well as Daryl Pedley is a UK judge coming in to judge the National Teeswater Sheep Specialty Show on Saturday evening, and I raise Wensleydales, and the Teeswaters are closely aligned to it, that they are a long wool, fine wool, luster type of fleece, that they almost glow in the dark. They're that bright and shiny on them.
Wow.
And all these spinners love those fleeces, and they can't wait to see the live animal.
Oh, yeah, I would think. And we sort of mentioned in passing, Cody, you mentioned in passing the you're going to have a chance to see some dogs work, too.
Yeah, there's a trial every year there. It's kind of set off in the back, and you know, we definitely want to direct people over there because I tell you, that is one of the most amazing things, to see those working stock dogs move those sheep around.
I've watched Patricia McConnell work with her dogs, and she claims to be nowhere near the professional level of what you're going to see at the Sheep and Wool Festival, and it amazes me to watch her work with her dogs.
Yep.
I mean, it's just unbelievable fun to watch. And again, this is if you were going to say, well, who should come to the festival? Who would you say? Pretty much anybody, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anybody that shouldn't come to the festival.
it's kind of a nice family thing.
It is, absolutely.
I like that part of it, because the kids are going to get a lot out of it. They're going to get to see the various animals. They're going to get to see the dogs work, possibly. The parents, you're going to be able to buy some product there while you're there.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lambing barn. The university brings down some ewes that they have bred to lambing in sheep terms is the mama giving birth.
Yep.
So we'll have a lambing barn down there where there'll be little babies running around. so, you know, that's always a big attraction for some of the younger kids as well.
And so that.
Where else can you go for $7 per person, Larry, and see everything there and networking with people not only from the great Midwest, but also from all over the United States? And we understand there's some folks coming in from foreign countries just to come in for the festival. So I think it's a super opportunity for everyone to be there at the Sheep and Wool Festival.
Yeah, and again, the dates for that are September 5th through the 7th. So, hey, it's coming right up. And that's Friday through Sunday. And it's at the Jefferson County Fair Park. And if you just go to WisconsinSheepAndWoolFestival.com, we have, and by the way, we have that up on my Facebook page as well, or at the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, the link. You can find out all about the events that are going on. Cody and Neil, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Cody Heemke is a sheep producer. He and his wife have a small farm of about 50 Shropshire ewes every year. Their main market is to sell stud rams, and Neil Kentner is in Wimsmer Manor in Mason, Michigan. Thanks for listening.